Time for our press review with Antonia Carrigan. And with the debate wrapped up not so long ago, what is the snap verdict according to the American press, Antonia?
Well, let's start with looking at a few titles from the New York Times. This describes a huge relief from Democrats' side over Harris's debate performance. This article describes her performance as the polar opposite of the timid and fairly shambling performance we saw from Joe Biden in the debate, that famous debate that blew up his campaign those months ago. Another headline they have is Harris put Trump on the defensive and kept him there. Once again, it says she made every effort to burrow under his skin. Similar mood music from CNN, who says Harris baits Trump in contentious debate. Once again, this idea of goading, this idea that Kamala Harris's campaign has somewhat identified what Trump's weakness might be, and it's not taking the bait is not his strength. The Huffington Post leaves absolutely no room for doubt or perhaps nuance in their front page. Debate disaster, Don off the deep end, describing the former president as seething, unhinged and incoherent. Well, that's certainly one side of the story. But what we have seen in the Washington Post, who were live polling a group of undecided voters from swing states on their reactions ongoingly throughout the debate, put an overwhelming majority, 22-2, at the end of the debate, saying that Kamala Harris performed better. That is, of course, not to be confused with will vote for Kamala Harris on polling day. Let's just look as well at the Washington Times, on the other hand, which is a very right-wing paper, whose headline, Harris attacks Trump as weak and remains vague on policy. So they're arguing that Trump didn't necessarily get a fair showing in this debate. And moderate is fact-check, former president, not opponent. So once again, this narrative of injustice against the former president. Of course, who gets more fact-checked could be a reflection of media unfairness, but could also be a reflection of who is telling the most untruths. And that's, of course, a matter for further discussion.
And on social media, the immediate reactions show Kamala Harris's campaign in fairly high spirits. They're quite confident after it.
Absolutely. On X, her senior campaign advisor for communications posted immediately, that was fun, let's do it again in October. So that sounds like a show of massive confidence. However, Donald Trump had a different take on this. Let's look at the Wall Street Journal that told the story of Trump appearing in the spin room after the debate. That's the room where campaign operatives are talking with reporters to big up the performance of their candidate. He appeared in the spin room and he said that he thought it was a great night and that the reason why Harris is keen to do another debate is because she got beaten tonight. His response is, we'll think about it. Of course, there's still a lot of bravado from both sides and it'll be a while before we'll have the real verdict in those cold, hard polling numbers. But one voter that Harris's campaign will be very pleased to have won over is, of course, Taylor Swift, who described Kamala Harris as a steady-handed, gifted leader, said that she would be voting for Kamala Harris, and she signed off her post, Taylor Swift, childless cat lady. That's, of course, reclaiming G. Day Vance's slur that the country was being run by a bunch of childless cat ladies in reference to the Democratic Party.
And one of the questions that occupied a lot of airtime, particularly on Kamala Harris's side, was abortion. How did the respective candidates fare?
Well, once again, let's look at the Washington Post live polling of undecided voters during the debate. It was a fairly overwhelming majority that believed Kamala Harris had better arguments. 16-9 is the number we've got there. NPR has this article about Donald Trump making this false claim that the Democrats support abortion after birth. In other words, executions. Now, he had a very cutting moment of fact-checking by the ABC News anchor Lindsay Davies, who said there is no state in the country where it is legal to kill a baby after birth. Of course, this is the line of argument he's taking to suggest that it's not that he's anti-reproductive rights. He's, in fact, he would argue, fairly moderate on the subject. However, he wants to paint the picture that the Democrats are radical and want to push limits to unspeakable lengths. This article also cites research saying that 93% of abortions in the country take place in the first trimester of pregnancy. So very, very late term abortions are extremely rare. Even the Wall Street Journal, a conservative paper, described Donald Trump as struggling on abortion. So that's worth noting. That does seem like it could be a big issue, especially for lots of female voters.
And another topic on the table was immigration. And we saw Donald Trump's unfounded claim, which seemed to originate with his running mate, J.D. Vance, that in Springfield, Ohio, they're eating the dogs. Talk us through the reactions to that.
So the front page of the Daily Beast has this pun in its title: Trump's conspiracies dominate dog-eat-dog debate with Harris. I don't think I need to explain the dog-eating pun in there. This article characterises him as a bit of a rambling madman. The subtitle reads, Harris remained in control as Trump went off the rails with outlandish tales of pet-eating immigrants. Now, you won't be surprised to hear that social media users couldn't believe their luck when the town mentioned in the conspiracy theory was Springfield. That's, of course, also the name of the town in the famous Simpsons series. So here are a few of the reactions. Here you've got Homer Simpson disappearing into a hedge. It's unclear if he's embarrassed about the political discourse in his country or because he's been eating pets. We've also got the Simpson family pets exchanging a worried look. And we've also got Marge Simpson bringing in the two family pets, the cat and the dog, and apologising to them that they are, in fact, dinner.
Thank you very much for that, Antonia Kerrigan. We can confirm that there were no dogs harmed in the production of this debate.